So I had originally planned on doing a different topic before today, but as I was preparing the lesson yesterday, I thought about a couple lessons I did several years ago, and we have some newer people here, so I decided to actually combine and paraphrase a few lessons. So if this sounds familiar to some of you, I'd apologize for that, but I just thought about it as I was putting it together that I really need to go back through and put those lessons and apply them to myself. And so I figured if I needed it, then maybe somebody else needs it as well. We're gonna be looking at Joshua 6 in just a moment, but you know, there's a couple things that we have to think about as we're going through life in general. When you go through our lives and you think about the things that kind of hold you back, you can get to your life where you kind of build a wall. And when you build this wall in your life, you can't see through it. And you really struggle trying to figure out how to knock it down, how to move it out of your way. And then you get to the point where one day you finally figure it out. And you move that wall out of your way and you start continuing your journey. But then you trip at the finish line. And that's the worst thing that you can do. And you see stories today where people are celebrating right before they cross the line thinking that they won the race. And then the thought and the feeling that you get when you realize you didn't win, that someone else had won, and you made the decision not to stay strong and not to have that feeling of I've got to finish this race with everything I got, instead just start slacking, and then you trip right at that finish line. Where in the spiritual sense, we have to break through walls to continue our race, but then we also cannot trip. Because if we trip at the finish line of our spiritual lives, we're not going to end up where we want to end up. And those are the things I want to talk about today. And the first piece of this is, how can I remove these walls that I've built up that's not allowing me to continue to be where I need to be with God? What can I do today to do that, to help with that? Well, if we go to Joshua, well, Joshua happens to physically talk about a wall. But I think we can take some of the physical view of this and apply it to ourselves spiritually. And if we go to Joshua chapter 6, it's really the first 21 verses. We're not going to read all 21. We're going to start at verse 6. So 6, verse 6. It says, "So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' Then he said to the people, 'Go forward and march around the city, and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord.'" So this is God is telling these men what they need to do through Joshua. And verse 8, it says, "It was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I tell you, shout, then you shall shout.' So he had the Ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp." So I'm paused right there. So you see the importance here of taking the Word of God and putting it to the forefront of your life. And you see that when you do that, you're going to see things that's going to happen to you that's going to make you feel great. And it may physically not help you. Physically, it may not help you. But spiritually, it may help you to abound. Let's continue on through verse 12. "Now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord, while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days." So for 6 days they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Well, what if they stop? But God said you got to do this 7 days. What if they stop right now? Is that wall going to come down? What about you? You're trying to break through a wall, and God is telling you this is what you need to do. And you do part of it. You do 6 of the 7 things. And I don't want us to write down a list of items. I think spiritually, when we look at being a true follower of God, it's about improving upon ourselves in a spiritual way that helps us grow closer to God. But what if there's something in our life that's keeping us spiritually closer to God? It could be anything. And there's multiple things. And we've got rid of six of the seven. Are you going to break down that wall that's causing you not to move forward? Well, let's see. If we stop right here, we don't know. We don't know, but what we do know is the wall is still there. The wall has not come down yet. It's not till the seventh day, the seventh walk around, that wall comes down. Look at verse 15. Then on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only on that day, they marched around the city seven times. At the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city will no longer be under his ban, and it shall be that as it belongs to the Lord, only Rahab and the harlot and all those and those who are in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent." And we'll pause right there. We know what now happens is that as we go down to verse 20, it says, "So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city." So we see here that the word of God in our lives is so important. And it's about applying everything. What happens if they just march around the wall seven times and they don't shout? The wall still stands. It's because they applied the whole word of God in their lives that the wall fell down. Well, you may say, well, I don't know what walls I have in my life. I don't know what's causing me not to move forward. I don't feel like anything's not causing me to move forward. I feel like I'm on the right path. Well, that might be great, but have you actually applied the way you're living your life to the Word of God? Have you connected the things that you're doing every single day of your life to the Word of God? And I ask you that because if you don't know, or if you feel you are hindered, then look at the Word of God to see how you can pull that wall down. And what are things that could keep you away? You know, you could work, family, friends, not utilizing your time with God to the forefront. You know, Jeff had a lesson a few weeks ago where he talks about wake up in the morning with the Word of God on your mind. You know, I'm an early gym riser. I'm usually at the gym around 4:30 every day. If I do it 4:30 at night, it's not going to get done because I don't want to do it at night. By the time I'm done with everything that I've done in my life, it's with work and everything else, it's like it'll get thrown to the wayside. So what do? The first thing I get up in the morning, this is what I'm going to do because I want this to come first. And I use that time to pray to God. And, you know, it's the first thing I do as soon as I wake up in the morning and before I go to the gym. It's just that's my time to make sure it gets done. Because if I don't do it as soon as I wake up, it's not on the forefront of my mind. And then what ends up happening is I build up a wall where I never talk to God. I never study God's word. I never grow spiritually. And then you get complacent. And there are things in this life that will cause your wall to get higher and higher and higher. There are just things in this life you just cannot do. And there are things that you should not want to do. And dude, those things are really going to be how you see your life and comparing that with the Word of God, and you have to ask yourself, am I growing spiritually every single day? Or do I feel like I've fallen back? Or I'm complacent? Something's just not right. I don't feel the same way that I should. That when I first became a Christian, I had this energy, this zeal to be stronger. I don't know if I have that today. If that's your thinking, then maybe you need to see what is causing that zeal to be so low, and how do you get it back? Because that's the wall that's hindering you. And the more you live that way, you're never going to tear down that wall. And that means you're never going to be able to get through that finish line. And if you don't get through that finish line here in this life, then it's a problem. And I just want us to, we've got a couple lessons to go through, so we're going to kind of trim this one up. But I do want to go to 1 John 1, and I want you to understand and recognize the importance of why in this life you and I need to be dedicated to not building walls, but instead tearing them down. Look at 1 John 1. what was from the beginning, what we have heard, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son and Christ Jesus. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. And then he goes on. But look at what, going back to verse 2 and then verse 3. It says, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Here John's writing is that they saw, they heard. Everything that we're reading, they saw it. Physically saw it. Physically heard it. So that means that everything in this book is real. And then ultimately, everything that is after our lives, that this book focuses on so much. Because when we look at the gist of really what life is about, it's that God is our maker. He created us, and He wants us to come home one day. That's all He wants. There's nothing else more to this life. But what He's expecting for us to do is, while we're surrounded by all this evil, all these things that can keep you away from God, how are you going to live your life? Are you going to put up walls? Or are you going to break them down? And if you break them down, then you'll continue your journey. But see, you know, the ultimate way for us to end this life in the way that we want to, and that's with God in heaven, is that we have to put down the walls ourselves. We have to change our mind, change our thinking, change our actions. Whatever's causing you not to grow, you need to change it today. Don't wait. Don't keep pushing it off. You know, there's no guarantee that you're going to be alive tomorrow. It don't matter what age you are. I could be dead tomorrow. That's irrelevant. The fact is that every day you should be living stronger and closer to God, because that's where you want to be. And if you wake up in the morning, and I'm not saying you have to wake up at 4:30, but if you wake up in the morning and the first thing that's on your mind is that, I guarantee you by the time you go to bed, it's going to be the last thing on your mind too. But you got to start your day that way. And you really have to think about the things that are causing you to slow down and that's causing you to fall off in this life. Because if you don't, you're not going to go anywhere. And it's not about this life going somewhere. Look at all the people who have riches. They got nothing. If they don't have God, they've got nothing. Because you know what happened to riches? See what's in my hand? That's what happens to it. It disappears. When you die, that's what it looks like. And you can't take it with you. And I don't know about you, but being with God and the mansions that He's built, that's exactly where I want to be at. Now, we go to the next phase of this lesson. And you bury through those walls, and you're working on it, and walls are falling in your life. My question to you is, how are you going to be able to stay the course for your whole life? Or are you going to trip at the finish line? And see, that's the worst feeling in the world, especially when you know the truth. When you sit here and you read the Word of God, and you know, I'm not going to talk about the denominational world and the way they teach is not the place for it. But when you forget everything that you, forget what I'm saying, but when you read the Word of God and you see things in this Bible and yet you still refuse to believe it, and you ask yourself, why? I'm reading this book, chapter, and verse, but I don't want to do it. That's the way I want to live my life. I don't want to do it. But then you're here. You're hearing the Word of God. What's causing you not to stay the course? You're listening to everything that God is wanting you to do. And, you know, we're in the book of Revelation. That book is like, in itself, we can all see, it has a lot of confusion to it. But at the end of the day, there's only one material lesson to it, and that's get to the end with victory. That's what your purpose of your life is to be victorious in this life, because you will be rewarded. But see, you can't get rewarded if you all of a sudden, towards the end of your life, And it could be any part of your life. It could be right now. And it really is right now. Where are you at? Every day is the end of your life. You're one step closer to it. And so where you are right now, where you know the truth, are you going to continue to move forward and stay the course? Or are you going to trip at that finish line? And I'd argue that if you trip at the finish line, it is literally the worst thing you will ever do in your spiritual life. Because you will stand before God and He will say, you were this close. You were this close to being right here next to me. But that won't get you in. And that will be a sad, sad way to stand before God on the day of judgment. And I go to Paul in Philippians. This is my favorite set of verses. As a matter of fact, I've done a lesson on these set of verses before, just reading these lessons. Philippians 3, if you ever want to wake up and read anything in your life, I'd argue you read these verses and it will help you stay the course. Let's look at verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view or surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God in basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So I'll pause right here. You see, Paul, the only thing he cares about is Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that matters to him. Everything else is lost if he does not have Jesus Christ. That's exactly the way we should be living our lives. There's no doubt that if you have Jesus Christ on your mind every single day, you can be living on the side of a road. It don't matter. And that's the way Paul sees it. He's lost everything physically, but spiritually, he is a rich man. And that's the way you and I should feel every day. But I want you to look at the next set of verses, because Paul wants us to recognize that, yes, even though he knows he's gained all this, but something could happen. Look at verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I will also, which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if anything in you a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have obtained. And we'll finish up the next four verses in just a moment, but I want to pause right here. What does Paul recognize? He knows he's on the right path, but he has not received that reward. So if he's not received it, what does that mean? He could live the rest of his life and never received it. He could also lose it. Even though he knows he's got it. He knows he's going to get it. But what does he do? He has to press on. So that why? So that I may lay hold of that for which also I laid hold of by Christ Jesus. You have to press on to get that reward. You don't get it while you're still walking the earth. You stay strong and you press toward that ultimate goal, and that's the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And, you know, they use the term already become perfect. And I use that term often when I talk to other folks. And often say is like, you know, could I want us to, the word perfect in context is a mature Christian faith. And that in essence means that you're ready for heaven. That means you've given up everything in your life, and you know for a fact that the way you're living your life, you would be able to live in heaven. And if that's the way you feel right now, you're great. If you know that, but if there's anything that you're doing that you don't want Jesus next to you while you're doing it, you need to give it up. Because you're not going to live that way in heaven. If you're doing anything in which you would not approve of Jesus Christ standing right next to you, you should stop it. I would tell you, He's right next to you. Everything you're doing, He's right next to you. So just stop it. Just go ahead and move on from that, because it's not going to benefit you. But the question becomes, could someone live a perfect life? Yeah, Jesus did it. Now, I'm not saying I'm Jesus Christ. If you took every single thing you ever did in your life and you focused on the exact action based on the Word of God, you could live a perfect, sinless life. Is it possible? Yes. Is there an expectation of that? I don't think so. Because otherwise, we wouldn't read verses about forgiveness and how when we do come across things in our lives that causes us to sin against God, and how do we change our minds and change our thinking. And a lot of that's with repentance. You know, things happen in our lives, and, you know, it may be something you never, 20 years ago, didn't bother you. All of a sudden, something's new in your life, and it's bringing you down. But we have an avenue of forgiveness, and we have an avenue of prayer, and but ultimately repentance. But the idea is that when you recognize that you're in the wrong, you mature to the point where you stop it. And guess what? You don't have that action no more. And so I don't want you thinking that, hey, oh, Brian's up here saying, I got to live a perfect life. That's not what this means. And there's other verses that we can go to show that. But you don't want to have an attitude, though? You have an attitude that I'm going to live a perfect life? But see, this is what the attitude we have. I'm human. I'm going to have sin in my life. That's the attitude that we have in our lives, is that, oh, I'm human. It's okay to have, I'm going to sin one day. What if you have the attitude, no, I'm going to try to live perfect, and if sin comes into my life, this is what I'm going to do about it. If that's your attitude, that to me is a lot better than making excuses and say, oh, I'm human. That's just the way, that's just who I am. So God made you. Now, God made you spiritual. God made us physical, but God wants you to be spiritual. And spiritual people who choose to live according to the way God wants you to live, put sin away, put sin outside their lives. And you have to be willing to do that. Have that attitude. Wake up every day and say, I'm going to try to live perfect. You don't have to tell anyone that's what you're going to do. Just put that in your mindset. See how, go a whole day and see how I can live a perfect, sinless day. Just put that in your mind. Wake up and just think about, how can I do that today? What can I do to do that? Do that the next day. And I guarantee you that instead of saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that, I'm human, it's going to be like, wow, I went the whole day, and I know for a fact I did everything right in this book. And if you think like that, I guarantee you, you're going to grow spiritually. You're not going to have walls in your life, and you're not going to trip at the finish line. And if we look at continuing through this in verse 17, it says, brother, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So we see that there's those who used to walk this way, who used to walk in the way that God would have them to do, but then they chose not to. So what does that tell us? That you could fall away by your actions. There's no such thing as once I make a decision to believe in God and Christ and get baptized for my sins that I'm good, I'm golden. Oh no. Your actions dictate the rest of your life. And we see right here, Paul says that there's those who walked that path. But now look, they are enemies of the cross of Christ because they refuse to do what he says. And look at Paul's response. He's weeping. He's weeping for them because he knows what they had, what they chose to give up, and what they're going to lose. And look at verse 19. Look at what happens to those who fall away, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. But for us, though, look, for our citizenship is in heaven, from them which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the power, with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he is even subject to all things himself. So we see that we have a duty and an obligation to continue the path in this life, not to trip at the end. And if you trip at the end, you're going to hear it. You know, look at those in the verses of 18 and 19. Like, imagine what they feel like right now, knowing that they knew the truth, and yet all of a sudden chose the things of this world over the believing and following God. And there's other verses. There's plenty of verses that talks about falling away in the scriptures. You know, it's 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. There's 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. And then there's 2 Timothy 4 again, 9 through 10. I don't want to go through and talk through that and for the sake of time, but I do want to go through one more verse and then we'll conclude for today. If you turn over to Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12. You know, this is a, you know, you think about, you know, just finding random verses in the Old Testament that benefit you. This is a great verse. Look at verse 12, verse 6. Hosea 12, verse 6. Therefore, return to your God. Observe kindness and justice, and look, and wait for your God continually. That's all we have to do. We just have to wait. But that waiting is continuing through the path. You know, one of these days, every one of us in here, in 100 years, none of us are going to be here. We're all going to be dead. So that tells you that every one of us sitting here has got a day in which our death is going to be imminent. So if you know you're going to die, you also know that there's a way to live forever. And there's two ways to live forever. There's a condemnation, but then there's a rewarding way. You wait for God continually every single day of your life, giving up things that's going to cause you to build walls, giving up things that's going to cause you to trip at the finish line. You will be so grateful on the day that you die. And every one of us should be looking for the day that we die. You know, I don't know about you, but if you're telling me that the day that I die, I don't have to worry about anything. I get this amazing place that even our minds can't think about. I get everything that is I could ever dream of in a spiritual manner forever. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind dying tomorrow, today, when I'm on my way home. It wouldn't matter to me because that would be amazing. You know, when we die, this shouldn't be a day of sadness. It should be a day of jealousy. Oh, man, Jeff died. I can't wait to get there. I'm jealous. But in all seriousness, though, every one of us here, I'm hoping that you're living your life where you're putting those things away that's causing you, that's hindering you. And I get, we have family members that frustrate us, that we want them on the right path. Sometimes you can't do with so much. Your life is what matters right now, not theirs. You know, you can do your part by living that life and let them see the example. There's some people, though, you're just not going to be able to convince. And you see in Matthew 7, there's very few people who are convinced. So, and I get that there's family members, there's people you work with, there's so many people that you're like, oh man, I just want you to listen and believe it. Don't worry about that. Don't let that affect your life. Put your life spiritually in a way that makes you feel that you're on the right path so that you can be in the right place eternally. And I can guarantee you that if they change their lives, that's great. If they don't, it won't matter. Because in the end, you're going to be standing next to God and Jesus Christ. And that should be your driving factor. And I don't know about you, but that's my driving factor. Everything that I know, I got family and friends and people that I care for here. But the most important thing to me is to be able to go home and see my Creator. And that should be your most important thing too. Forget everybody that's around you. Just focus on that. Your Father and the Savior. Your brother, in essence, is what He is. So if there's anything that we can do to help you, guide you on the right path. You know, we always use this time that you can come forward here, you can sit in the second row here, but you can also go to your Father in prayer. You can look to us. Anybody here is willing to help you on that right track. If there's anything that we can do, why don't you come forward as together, we're standing as we sing.